Next to Unalaska's small boat harbor, in the shadow of Bunker Hill, construction crews are tearing down a piece of history.
So what they're doing is they just now are loading up the steel carriage, I guess is what you call it, that they used to pull the boats and the subs up in.
Joe Sacramento is the property manager for Pacific Stevedoring, the shipping company that took over the railway site a year and a half ago. He's standing next to a giant mechanical carriage that was the crux of this whole operation back in 1942.
That was the bottom that sat on these rails, and they would block it up with wood blocks and just pull it straight up and out.
If you're not a mariner, the procedure's kind of hard to picture, but it went something like this. Navy men would drive a boat into the harbor, where ghostly train tracks still emerge from the water, continue up the bank, and run straight through an open space in the hollowed-out railway building. They'd pull up on the tracks and fit blocks around the boat's hull. That way, it wouldn't tip, as they used the carriage to reel it out of the water and into the workshop area, where welders and carpenters were waiting.
They could take a boat as big as a minesweeper, which was a wooden-hulled boat less than 100 feet long.
That's Jeff Dickrell, a local historian who spent his career studying the Aleutian Islands and their role in the Second World War. He says when the Japanese bombed Dutch Harbor in June of 1942, the island's military base was still pretty small. But more than 50 people died during the two-day attack, and it became clear the Aleutians were vulnerable. So, the military got to work. Navy construction battalions expanded the base. The battalion members were called Seabees, and Dickrell says they built the Marine Railway.
They did that because there was no place to pull a boat out of the water between here and Seattle.
The structure was finished a year after the attack, but it never got to play a heroic role. The war had become an air battle, and Dickrell says the railway was only equipped to repair small boats, which were already struggling to navigate the region's rough waters.
You don't operate with small boats in the Aleutians. They tried to bring up YP boats or Yippie boats. And so they would try to use those for inshore patrolling and to do, you know, the close to shore work. And they just got so kicked around by the weather that they couldn't really use them.
Meanwhile, the war moved west to Attu and Kiska, where U.S. forces fought the Japanese invasion. The Marine Railway wasn't used much, but it lived on, even after the war ended in American victory. Dickrell says the space was actually used into the early 2000s, when welders used the train tracks to haul out crab boats. Like all of the surviving World War II buildings on the island, he says that longevity comes down to good old-fashioned construction. No power tools, everything cut and pounded by hand.
They were designed to last 5 years for the war, but they did such high-quality construction methods and used such high-quality materials that here's a building that's lasted 75 years. That's pretty cool.
Dickrell says it was a kind of comfort, too, once the railway was condemned.
Can take some solace in a building that was supposed to last five, lasted 75. It's like the Russian Orthodox cross, you know, that you don't put the person's name on it so that when people stop remembering who it was, you let it fall to disrepair, and that's fine.
With the demolition now done, Pacific Stevedoring is deciding how to use the railway space for present day. Joe Sacramento says it might become storage or maybe employee housing. Either way, it's hardly the end of World War II's legacy in Unalaska. Just across the property, Sacramento's crew is renovating another war-era building that's held up a bit better. And they've just discovered a memento from 75 years ago, hiding behind mold and dusty drywall.
We just wanted to start fresh, so we gutted the hole inside. One of my guys came to me and said he found some writings on the wall, so we went over and seen, and it was two U.S. Navy Seabees had signed and dated it 7/29/42.
Written with a deep blue grease pencil, the two names stand out against the wood.
Carl Oberliner, that's one of them. And then
WB.
That one I didn't look up. Morphew or I'm not sure, but this.
While Sacramento works on deciphering the second signature, he's already begun reaching out to the family of Carl Oberliner. The Navy man died in 2014, but Sacramento says he hopes to send Oberliner's signature to his daughters. That way, this piece of history can live on. In Unalaska, I'm Laura Craigle.